CBS News Special Report. Jurors now have questions as they continue deliberating Donald Trump's criminal case in New York, including transcripts of testimony from former fixer Michael Cohen and former tabloid boss David Pecker. CBS's Errol Barnett has more outside court.
Two of these four items the jury is asking for relates to this Trump Tower meeting, because the prosecution in their closing arguments yesterday made the case that this entire conspiratorial scheme to deceive the American public began in August of 2015 inside Trump Tower.
Legal analyst Jessica Levinson.
Sometimes you have a group that goes back, they basically know what they want to do and where they're going, and there's one, maybe two questions. Sometimes you have a really inquisitive bunch, and we really don't know yet.
Deliberations are going on 4 hours now. CBS News Special Report, I'm Monica Ricks.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin is launching a new $100 million investment fund to help startups and entrepreneurs. The Wisconsin Investment Fund will invest in technology, healthcare, agriculture, manufacturing, and other kinds of businesses.
Starting a company is a very difficult job. It's risky and it's full of tons of work. And when it's a scientific company, it's even harder.
Jessica Martin-Eckerly is CEO of Forward Biolabs. Half of the new startup money comes from the government, the other half from private investors. A 100-year-old World War II veteran who survived the D-Day invasion was celebrated during a parade in Wisconsin this week. Jack Kraszewski was part of Pulaski's Memorial Day commemorations Monday. He's going back to Normandy next week. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The cut fiber wire in northern Wood County has been repaired and service restored in the Marshfield area. The disconnect affected internet and phone service in the northern part of the county for about 2 hours yesterday afternoon. People trying to contact the dispatch center using a number that had a Marshfield, Pittsville, or Auburndale prefix were affected. Wood County Communications updated the service was restored around 4 p.m. yesterday. Want to help the most helpless in our community? The United Way is holding their diaper drive. Their goal is to get diapers, wipes, and creams in the hands of parents in need. They're accepting diapers of all sizes, along with any diaper rash paste or creams and wipes. They prefer unscented if possible. All donations must be new and unopened. You can drop them off at the United Way office from 8:30 to 4 Monday through Friday at 351 Oak Street in Wisconsin Rapids. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers lose to the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers went into extra innings but lost to the Cubs in front of 24,000 fans at AmFam Field. Chicago, with a five-run rally in the 10th, went on to win 6-3. Willie Adames drove in the tying run but was called out at second trying to secure a double. A challenge failed. X-rays on Brewers closer Trevor McGill were negative after he took a hot comeback shot to his right throwing arm. A lot of twists and turns in this one. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Yeah, there's a lot of key moments. That was one of them for sure. The throw from left field to the bang-bang play, key moment.
The Cubs getting a good performance from their bullpen and starter Ben Brown, who pitched a no-hitter through seven innings before being pulled. Cubs manager Craig Counsell.
Look, it was a tight game, and so it was a fun game to watch, and we pitched really well and showed a lot of spirit in the game and a lot of fight and came up with a win.
Again, the Brewers losing to the Cubs 6-3. The series continues game three out of the four-game series tonight with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win Contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We're hooking you up with Wisconsin Dells prize packs, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, plus the chance to win a summer getaway to Door County, Lake Geneva, or a lake house vacation. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store and get ready to text in for your first chance to win in this statewide contest starting Monday, June 3rd at 7 a.m. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
A high pressure is sitting over the state today and tomorrow, bringing us abundant sunshine with calmer winds. and highs today will flirt with 70, rising just a touch warmer tomorrow too. The sunshine stays with us until the weekend. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 69 degrees.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk, drive sober, or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful. It's the least that you can do.
What you desire, don't play with matches. Don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow. Thursday, Door County is getting national attention as a political bellwether. We'll find out why in our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by Motherhood for Good.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Wednesday, May 29th, 2024. I have your host, James J. Maloff, here. At 3:30, we're going to welcome in our friend Hannah Wendell Scott. She is a FoodWise nutrition educator with UW Extension. Right now, in studio, we have our friends from the Historic Point Boss. We have Mr. Mike Hittner with us. Good to see you, sir.
Hey, good morning, James, and everybody in WFHR land.
And Larry Knutson's with us. Larry, good to see you.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here.
Beautiful day of sunshine.
Yeah. Appreciate you guys being here. Thank you so much. And I want to talk about the great event coming up, the Pioneer Fest. Let's dive right into this, Mike.
Yes, it's one of our annual events, probably the longest, the one we've had probably for 30 years. The president at the time, Brian McDermott, told me, I was vice president at the time in like 1986, let's schedule some event out here so we can draw some public here, because for the first 7, 8, 10 years, we were working on the house, getting it fixed up and jacked. It was jacked up off the foundation, so we had to do something to keep the interest in the site. And so the Point Boss Pioneer Festival came about, and so since 38 years, I guess so.
Is this the oldest event that you guys host?
I think so. The other one would be close to that would be our Winter Feast.
Yeah.
Probably about 35 years or somewhere in that area. So, yeah. So this is a kind of a culmination of everything. We got a lot of people come from the outside to demonstrate and apply their wares and that sort of thing. We have Tea at Two. That's a great event. A lot of people really like an extra blacksmith besides the one we have on site. We have weavers, snowshoe makers, fire starters, hawk throwers, historical timekeepers. They're Civil War era civilians that helped with the Civil War effort in the North. We also have this year a special event is Pelham's Battery, a Confederate Civil War artillery group.
Yeah, interesting.
So they're going to be shooting the cannon off every hour on the hour or so, and we've contacted, like everybody asks, well, did you contact, yes, Nacoosa Police and the Sheriff's Department just to find out so that if they get any calls that what's going on, that, yes, they're shooting off on the hour. It'll only be noise, of course. There's no load in there other than the noise and the gunpowder to make the noise sort of thing. So.
Do you have somebody on a horse yelling, the British are coming? Do you have something? Just to really add to the no,
well,
it might be a little too early.
We got a little bit of a thing that I told them. I says, 5 minutes before you shoot it off, I says, you're going to have to go down along the river and let all the fishermen know that are down there fishing. All of a sudden, this big charge comes out of there and there's a boom because we're shooting it towards the river. And I says, you're going to probably have to go down and warn those people,
yeah,
because it'll be quite a surprise because the percussion and everything is going towards the river. So the people, the audience won't feel much of anything. They'll hear it, certainly, but the percussion is all going towards the river. And, of course, the river there is probably 250 yards wide, so I think it'll dissipate fairly quickly on the other side of the river. But the fishermen are within about 150 feet of that, so I think they'll notice it for sure.
Go ahead, Mike.
Go ahead. And some more things we got is like rope making, noggin making. Now, noggin making sounds kind of funny, but I think it's those things they made to hit people on the head with years ago, wasn't it? Is it
shoes? No, a noggin is a cup that's carved out of a wood burl.
Oh, cool.
I like mine better, though.
it could be another noggin.
I'm more familiar with the one you're
that's
talking
a
about,
noggin
Mike.
Bashing.
A noggin basher? Because they use burls for that, too, I think. Because they were extra hard and everything, and they found some way of attaching it and everything. Then we have maps and navigation, gunsmithing, soap making, shoe shining, corn shelling, lumber raft, person to be interpreting lumber rafting, class differences. They'll also talk about class differences between people, you know, from the revolutionary time onward and everything, which I think is very interesting, especially in this time of day. Mm-hmm. Pie baking, teepee tours, fur trade, native foods of the Americas. So, I mean, a wide, wide selection. This is all over and above what we do. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Larry will talk a little bit about what he's doing in the cabin and or the bunkhouse. But in each, as you can see on our schedule there, James, we've got it scheduled during the day, so each building will have a special presentation, not too long, maybe 5, 10, 15 minutes, but they'll do a special presentation each day so that the public knows when to go there and everything. Larry, what are you doing in the bunkhouse this year?
Well, in the bunkhouse, I portray a Norwegian immigrant, and what I do part-time, I work for the Wakeleys part-time, you know, in the 1800s, but then I hunt birds for a living, which a lot of men did. Mm-hmm. And what I talk about is hunting passenger pigeons, but I have all my gear there that I would take on a bird hunt with me and stuff like that, local hunt. And so what I'm going to have is a discussion period of, okay, what would you take on a hunt with you and why?
Yeah.
You know, so it's not saying, you know, if you take this item, it's wrong. It's just, why would you take that item? So it's just a discussion thing, but... So you get to get an idea of all the stuff that they had back then and what was the function of it, you know.
Yeah. I think it's kind of interesting because Larry has done in the past, he'll put out some things and ask the public what they think they're used for or what their use was. And we get a lot of good interaction with that. And in fact, probably when we go to the Cranberry Blossom Festival for their quilt showing and everything, maybe that sort of table would be interesting to bring along, too, just to get people's interaction of what they think things were used for.
I typically call it the what is it table. I have different items. You can guess what it is. Some people know what they are, what the items are. And,
I love that. That's awesome. You know. That's a great idea. It's a great idea. Yeah. Larry, just real quick, because you and I don't get the chance to talk that often, but I'm always, Mike and I, and whenever we're talking to Story Point Boss, we always like to make sure that we are encouraging people to be a part of this, to help keep history alive. What brought you to this event? What made you want to be a part of this event and do this?
Well, one thing was retirement, of course, but
that helps.
But I've always loved history as I want to learn it. You know, I really wasn't all that good in history in school because they want you to memorize dates and names, and I was never good at memorizing. So I've learned to appreciate history in my own way, I guess, if you will. And but actually, I was down to Old World, Wisconsin. If you've ever been there, it's a beautiful sight. Mm-hmm. I'm really proud of having that in Wisconsin. And I was sitting there, you know, if I was down here, I'd be volunteering. I'd be out here. And then it just, duh. I got Historic Point Boss right down the road.
Well, and Larry's background, too, is in historical interpretation, but it was earlier than this. He's been a member.
Yeah, wife and I have been a member of the SCA for a good number of years, and Society for Creative Anachronism, which is Middle Ages reenactment, you know.
Really appreciate that, Larry. I appreciate you, your wife, and people like yourselves being a part of things like this. I too, am a lover of history, but like you as well, I could not remember dates. So I didn't do very good in history, but I love history. I love learning about it. And you can learn so much and not only learn, but live history when you're a part of the Pioneer Festival.
Yeah, we have a lot of hands-on sort of things, you know, that we'll be making ice cream, and we'll have a couple of kids helping there, but certainly we encourage the public to participate. And in fact, before this event on June 7th, we have a blacksmith that's actually doing a class down there for adults, and it's kind of an outreach that we're trying to reach more people. And also, by reaching those people, maybe they'll come in and join us and be participants in what we're doing. We got a sheep to shawl coming up where they shear the sheep and they work all the way to the making a shawl with it, I think in the middle or end of June. It's on our website, but you can see that date. And so we're trying more and more to be interactive with the public as much as we can, and more so than we have in the past.
We're speaking with Mike Hittner and Larry Knutson from Historic Point Bus. I'm sorry, Larry, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, so if there's somebody out there, we're trying to get into more classes, having them available and stuff. But if there's somebody out there that wants to have a class on something, we do have outreach for different places that, you know, we can bring people in. If they desire a class, give us a call, and we'll see if we could accommodate it.
I mean, Larry's even talked about doing a class on knife sharpening. Mine sounds simple, but a lot of people don't know how to do that. They, when the knives get dull, they throw them away, and they don't ever sharpen them again.
One of the things that I think is also unique about this event is something that is actually becoming more and more popular over the last handful of years, the tomahawk throwing. And we're seeing more and more places opening up where you can do this as, like, and people go out on dates and do these kind of things.
Axe throwing bars now have been very popular, and we really haven't seen that until the last 5 years, really. So it's become popular. And Larry generally does that with the students. Once in a while I help out or fill in because he's doing interpretation in a different building at the site with the school groups. But we don't do it with all school groups, but fourth grade and up, we'll do it with them. And kids really love it. And, of course, we always put pressure on it because the teachers and chaperones have to try. And then look, comparison to what the students do. And sometimes you get some of those teachers or those gals can really throw a decent. I don't know if they've been practicing or what, but they do a good job.
Sometimes just teaching can you really give you that strength to really just want to whip that guy, I imagine.
Well, and it's surprising, too. You really don't have to do a lot of speed to this thing. I mean, it's the revolutions.
It's more about the revolutions, isn't it?
What is it, Larry, 5.5 or?
Well, 7 paces. If you're 7 paces, not big paces, or 7 steps from the target, you're usually fairly good at getting in there as long as you toss it. But my first year at Pioneer Fest, I did the hot tomahawk throw, and it just so happened there was a father-daughter that was there, and the daughter threw, and she had her dad throw, and they both stuck 3 out of 5 on the first time. And so the afternoon, it was just a constant contest between those two.
So if you didn't have any other participants, those two were for sure.
Mike, I would like to take a second to talk about the historical timekeepers as well. This is something that is a unique part of this event. It's a fun part of this event.
It's a new thing that they're out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And what they do is they did kind of fundraising and collecting bandages and things for the Army, the Potomac, the North Army. And they did this in bigger cities to try to raise money and different things that they could contribute to the Union cause. So it's a brand new thing. They do a wonderful job. I went on their website. Boy, I mean, the clothes and everything are spot on. I mean, we do a pretty good job on clothes, but these people are really into it. I mean, the ladies dressed up, you know, with the big hoop skirts and everything, that's fantastic. So I think people like that a lot. They'll be in the riverside of the house and camped out there, people can go out there, they'll kind of display what they do and talk about what they did in those days and that sort of thing. People just have to realize that they're not part of the Union Army. They were civilians that were adjunct or helped the Union Army. Kind of maybe like a Red Cross thing in their day.
That's a great comp for it, I think. Well, this event has been going on, as Mike touched on in the beginning of the conversation, for 30-plus years, and it's a very popular one. We also know that we're always getting these kind of events into new listeners and new people. For those that don't know what TIA2 is, can we tell them what that is?
Well, it's what you call TIA2 would be low T. They basically have T. Joni does it, one of our members, does an excellent job on it. She'll explain the whole background of it. I guess I don't know, Larry, have you ever sat in on it? I've been so busy, I haven't had time to sit in on it.
I've been in the bunkhouse, but I have seen it. It's one of our biggest attractions there, I think.
A lot of gals and some men and kids come, and she has all little tables, and then like 4 at a table, and then they'll have tea, and then she'll have about 4 or 5 varieties. She'll explain the differences, and then they have some little cookies or biscuits that they make that would have been appropriate for the era, and she'll talk about the custom of doing this and how you do it, you know, properly, and how the ladies, you know, how they drink the tea. Maybe there's 3 fingers out or 2, I don't know. It's a certain way you drink this, but it's very good. You know, when we were in England, We went to a tea like this too, but we thought, you know, poor Americans, I didn't know anything about it. So when they started bringing all the food, I think they locked the doors after we left because we cleaned them out of food. They got these little sandwiches, you know, cucumbers and everything. They cut the crusts off of them and everything. They got, it's very pretty and everything, but we thought it was a meal, but it was just supposed to be, you know, low key. But as a family, we didn't know the difference back 30 years ago. So
the historic fashion show also sounds really interesting. That's going to be going on as well.
Well, a lot of people ask about our costumes in. And I think a lot of people don't ask because they don't want to be embarrassed or put us on the spot or something. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have, like, Larry will be in it, myself will be in it, Joe Greco, Dawn Baker from the house, and a couple other people, plus some of the people that are demonstrating. I'm sure that the civilian Civil War group that will be there, the timekeepers will be there. So they'll have it kind of narrated. Somebody will be just telling about what people are wearing, and we all kind of wear somewhat similar but very different things a lot of times. And so that's kind of nice. I think the public really has been historically interested in this. We haven't done it now probably for 2-3 years, but I think it's time to bring it back again. It's at 1 o'clock at the house, so if you want to take that part of that. But everybody, when they come in, they'll get a map of the site with where all the demonstrators are and what they do, and also a schedule of events so they know what's happening when. So you can, we come in, they don't say, well, I wanted to see that, but I missed that. Well, now they'll know the schedule exactly. So I think it'll be very helpful. I think it's one of the better things we made improvements on.
Well, before we wrap up, we'll give people a breakdown of the days and times. But I did want to take a moment to talk about something else that's going to be happening before it, the Pioneer Festival Special Civil War Presentation. This is going on June 8th, 10 a.m. to 5 over at the Historic Point Boss. A very interesting event. I think that not only ties into things, but is going to give people maybe even a little more insight to that era.
Well, and we had Abraham Lincoln last year, as you remember, James, and now this year we're having the Confederate Pelham's Battery Civil War artillery that's going to be there. And so their camp is wide open to the public. They want to come in and talk. They're going to have Confederate flags, but they're going to explain the Confederate flags and what the reason is for different things. You know, it's gotten a lot of bad rap in the last, probably 10, 15 years about, you know, states flying Confederate flags, you know, and all this sort of thing. But there is a real meaning behind that flag and exactly what the different symbols are from that. That I don't think the average public, they just see that flag and then they think of people flying it behind trucks or in parades.
Well, I think that's the pushback, is that the people, you see a lot of people.
I think misusing it.
Misusing it, yes. And it's so nice to be able to have, here is an opportunity to learn not only about that, but a part of our history.
Right,
Of our, you know.
And we can't deny it. It's history.
Yeah.
I mean, you can try to change things all you want, but it's part of what we like. And what we have to do is we got to learn by this history.
Yes.
That, it was an unfortunate part of our history, but we have to learn from it so we don't repeat it.
The history is the good, the bad, and the ugly.
For sure.
Yeah. Whatever it was, it's history.
It's one of the things I like about history is looking back on it. And so much of it to me is data. It's not good or bad. It's just information. It's just data. And you take it for that, and you can really learn a lot from it, I think.
Right.
You're going to learn a lot at the blacksmithing class that is going on Friday, June 7th. That's another one. You touched on this a little bit. Can we just get into the details of this one? It's going to be class size of 3, so not going to have too many people part of this.
Just because of their handling of the hot iron and that sort of thing, and to get the really into the class, you have to do a little smaller group, unfortunately. But if this works out, I'm sure that we'll have more come back, more classes come back. But it's one of those things they should probably sign up on our website because they have to know how many people to prepare for. I think we've got 2 right now, and I think we got room for at least 1 more is what I understand. So, check it out. Earlier is better than later, so.
We'll get you that website address before we wrap up. Mike, this is an amazing event. This Historic Point Boss Pioneer Festival goes on Saturday, June 8th from 10 to 5, Sunday, June 9th, 10 to 4. A lot of great things, something for everybody. But I also understand that there's not that many of you. We could always use more volunteers. We could always use more people down there to help these events go off.
Right. And volunteers, contact myself, and I'm in the phone book or our website if you'd like to volunteer in whatever capacity. It doesn't have to be an interpreter. It can be somebody behind the scenes that's just working. We have a Monday work group that helps out. And so we just appreciate everybody and anybody that can help out, you know, because it takes a lot of hands to get this job done. You know, for this festival, probably about 40 people are involved just to, you know, get ready for it and be participant in it. We also have a full kitchen for Ma Wakely's Kitchen, and have all kinds of historic bread like fry bread and prairie dogs and beaver venison barbecue and all kinds of things that you could imagine, you know, besides lemonade and point soda and desserts and that sort of thing. So if you come down there, $5 for adults, $2 for students, you can stay all day and not spend a lot of money, but get a lot of history, and the kids love it. And if you want to bring a sack lunch, you're welcome to, but otherwise we got a full kitchen there for your benefit.
I think, too, if you have somebody that's interested in, you know, is just skeptical or, you know, I don't know, you know, and stuff like that. We do have loaner garb or loaner clothing of the period there that if you let us know ahead of time, we can fit you up with some loaner clothing to get the feel of it. And we love people just walking around with period garb on and stuff like that, because it gives we want that feeling.
Especially young people, because see Larry and I with gray hair here, and most of our volunteers are, well, probably 60 plus. We'd have some younger ones also, of course. But it's nice to have those smaller, the kids and the teenagers there dressed up, because that's what it would have been like in the Wakely's day. We're interpreting just because we happen to be retired and have more time for it, but it's nice to get the whole families there.
Mm-hmm. This is something that we always wrap up our conversations encouraging people to be a part of this to help keep history alive. And it's a fun thing to be a part of. I never want to get past, too, the rewardingness of this. I've been able to take in a lot of events over the years over there, and one of the things I always come away from is certainly learning something and having a good time and feeling more connected to my community, more connected to my ancestors and a lot of these things, but it's the look on your guys' faces. It's the enjoyment of all of you guys and the people that are volunteering and working there that are enjoying it. It's so rewarding for you. You could be a part of that, everybody.
Yeah. And Larry and I wouldn't be there if we didn't enjoy it, and we enjoyed immensely the interaction with the public and that sort of thing. And I think it's great that way, and we want to encourage anybody that has an interest, just come down and tour around this weekend, and then if you like what you see, give us a call and check it out with us.
We learn ourselves. Mm-hmm. We have people come down there, and they, you know, great grandpa used to talk about doing that and stuff, and so it's a learning experience for us too. You never can learn too much.
It's like you say, you learn every day or you die. So we're learning every day.
Yeah. Well said. Always a good time talking with you guys. A Historic Point Boss Pioneer Festival, again, kicks off Saturday, June 8th at 10 a.m. They will kick things off with a special demonstration. Be sure to check that out. Find out more about this great event and ways that you can impact and be a part of things over at the Historic Point Boss by going to their website, historicpointboss.com. Be sure to bookmark that webpage and follow them on social media. It's a great way to keep up to date on everything. Thanks again for the time, you guys.
Thanks, James.
Thank
and
you
WFHR.
Appreciate you. We'll be back with more conversation right here on Midday Magazine at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Weight isn't just a number. It's a ticking bomb that will one day ruin your health, if it hasn't already. Sick and tired of fad diets that don't work? Wausau Weight Loss offers you the real deal, a natural, effective path to weight loss without the hassle of counting calories or endless gym hours. With our proven program, clients are shedding up to a pound a day. Real people, real results. Hear their stories. Witness the transformation.
Hi, I'm Ivor from Marshfield. I lost 130 pounds and over 60 inches. I've got so much more energy than I ever had before, and I also have the confidence to pursue cycling and kayaking and keeping up with my grandkids.
Wausau Weight Loss offers a groundbreaking approach with no gimmicks or temporary fixes. Just sustainable, healthy weight loss. Don't wait. Diffuse that ticking health bomb with Wausau Weight Loss and lose as much as 30 pounds in a month. Visit WausauWeightLoss.com or call now for your free, no-obligation consultation at 715-502-4748. 715-502-4748. That's 715-502-4748.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on WFHR.com. Your news, just for Wisconsin Rapids and surrounding communities. I'm Melissa Kay with WFHR News.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot. Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was, when they moved the camera. Whenever there'd be like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Lean left. Straight. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Madison judge could restore union rights to Wisconsin public sector workers taken away under Act 10. In oral arguments yesterday, attorney Stephen Carl Kilpatrick said lawyers were within their rights to treat police and firefighters differently.
The legislature decided that this passage of Act 10 could create labor disruption. And what it decided was that there were certain job categories that it could not live without.
There's no timeline for the judge's ruling. Wisconsin collected more medications during Drug Takeback Day than first thought. The U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration says Wisconsin ranked first in the country, not second. Wisconsin collected more than 55,000 pounds of unwanted medicine on April 27th. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. If you like the taste of cocktails but don't want the alcohol, you have a new option in the state. A new bottle shop in Middleton is the first of its kind in Wisconsin. All the products are alcohol-free.
It's for anyone who is looking to really own their relationship with alcohol, right? Rather than alcohol owning you.
That's owner Christy Tanner. She just opened Sober Social a few weeks ago in Middleton.
If you're looking to drink less, you can have the same tasting things from my shop without the alcohol.
Christy said she never expected to be a business owner, but at 5 years sober, she wanted to see something new.
You love an old fashioned? I've got a non-alcoholic whiskey and a non-alcoholic orange bitters, and you can make one.
Sober Social is open Wednesdays through Saturdays in Middleton. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Variety has posted the predictions for Emmy Award nominations for Best Supporting Actor in the Comedy category. 8 of the top 10 nominees come from just 3 shows, FX's The Bear, Max's Hacks, and ABC's Abbott Elementary. Representing The Bear are Eben Moss Bachrach, Oliver Platt, Maddie Matheson, and Lionel Boyce. Paul Downs and Carl Clemens Hopkins are from Hacks, and Tyler James Williams and Chris Brighetti from Abbott Elementary. Richard Lewis is predicted to receive a posthumous nomination for Curb Your Enthusiasm. The title for the latest installment in the Knives Out franchise has been revealed. The Hollywood Reporter sprung the news that Wake Up Dead Man, a Knives Out mystery, will debut on Netflix sometime next year. Director Rian Johnson revealed the title on his ex-Twitter page, as well as the fact that Daniel Craig will be back as the lead in the latest installment of the whodunit franchise. If they keep making Knives Out films, it's going to seem unbelievable that anyone would be seen at a dinner party with Daniel Craig. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
A high pressure is sitting over the state today and tomorrow, bringing us abundant sunshine with calmer winds. And highs today will flirt with 70, rising just a touch warmer tomorrow too. The sunshine stays with us until the weekend. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 71 degrees.
Burgers stacked with mushrooms on Wisconsin Swiss cheese, or piled high with smoked brisket, crispy bacon, Wisconsin Gouda, lettuce, tomato, sweet barbecue sauce, and a fried pickle, or simply topped with cheese and fried onions, Monk's Bar & Grill offers classic and gourmet burgers for lunch, dinner, and game day. Whatever you are craving, Monk's has you covered with 7 locations statewide. Monk's Bar & Grill is ready for your next game day visit and is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights, was overturned, Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
Crude and Dom.
On a hump day that feels like a Tuesday edition of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, Judge Juan Bershon will charge the jury. Dom will charge the mound. You better tune in.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Wednesday, May 29th, 2024. I have your host, James, here, and I'm joined right now by our friend, Hannah Wendell Scott. She is the Foodwise Nutrition Educator with Wood County UW Extension. Hannah, good to have you with us.
Yes, so nice to be back.
We are joking in our pregame that we only get to hang out once a year, but it's a fun time when we get to.
It is.
We got some great stuff to cover today. We're going to talk a little bit about the Wisconsin Rapids Downtown Farmers Market, but want to start off with a great program that's been in our community for a while now that while I think some might know about it, it's always great to be able to dive back into these things and remind people or give people information they didn't even know. And we're going to talk about the River Riders Bike Share going on. Let's just start right there, Hannah.
Yes.
What is the River Riders Bike Share and the Marshfield Community Bike Share?
Yeah, and Marshfield's kind of still sort of new, so mm-hmm. people might not know about it. But River Riders and Marshfield Community Bike Share are both app-based programs that are open to everyone. So if you're a visitor or a resident of our communities, this bike share is for you. And since 2021, we've had both of River Riders and Marshfield Community Bike Share. So we've got the south end of the county and the north end of the county covered.
It's pretty cool. And certainly something like this doesn't just happen. It comes from a need.
Yes.
You've heard they've heard from the community that this is something that is needed.
Yeah. I mean, bike share has been around for the last 10 years. Back in 2014 is when it kind of got started. And bike sharing, it just makes bicycles available for shared use amongst community members and visitors. So bike share is more for those shorter trips, point to point, nothing crazy long. But it's really nice to have it in case you want to run errands and you don't have a vehicle on hand, if you want to run to an appointment or get to and from your home. But a lot of times people are using them to explore a community and hit out mm-hmm. the trails. It's super fun to have a bike share program in our community.
Things that we're constantly encouraging people to do. And now with these options, giving people another way to be able to take in some of the trails.
Yeah.
We have so many great paths and so many great trailways in central Wisconsin here, and being able to take them in and not having to necessarily get a bike of your own. It is a real advantage for a lot of families that for so many are struggling.
Yes.
And in tough situations, you still want to do stuff as a family. Here you go. You grab a couple of bikes and you go for a ride.
Yes, I love it.
An angle on this that I don't think a lot of people would have seen, but I have to admit, coming from my background and growing up poor, to be blunt, mm-hmm. I saw right away something you touched on there that I don't feel like we get to very often with the Bike Share program, and how much this can help people getting to appointments, getting back and forth from the grocery store, simple things that not everybody has the accessibility to do.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest, we don't have a ton of transportation for public use here in Wisconsin Rapids, Marshfield, honestly, all of Wood County. So to have something like this where you can use it in a pinch is really nice. It's a huge amenity to our community.
Where is that bike share located?
Yeah, so River Riders kind of pays tribute to the Wisconsin River. So it is here in Wisconsin Rapids. We have three stations this year. So we've got a station at our most popular location, which is Lake Wazicha, mm-hmm. over there on the White Sands Beach. You can find it in the parking lot. We also have a station at McMillan Memorial Library, which I love because I feel like libraries are just so welcoming. Mm-hmm. Anybody can go to the library. So I love that we have a station there. And then we also have one at the West Grand Avenue Bridge, so right at the corner of West Grand Avenue and First Avenue South.
Mm-hmm. Were those locations chosen for a reason? And you mentioned the library. I agree with you. I think that's a great idea.
Yes. Yeah, they were chosen for a reason. When we originally started Bike Share, we had community conversations. We got input from what the community wanted to see out of this program, and a big part of that was where should they go. So the lake, obviously, it's a nice, short, quick loop, mm-hmm. a great place for families. We have the campground out out there. So it's a really good one. The water ski show. I mean, there's so much to do out there, and it's nice to have bike share there. But then bringing them more downtown and putting them in more accessible locations, like the library, where, like I said, anybody can go to that library. It's a great little point. It's right in the middle of our city. And then the West Grand Avenue Bridge, it connects to a trail. So if you want to hop on, or when the farmer's market's going on, which we'll talk about in a little bit, you can do your shopping, put your stuff in your little basket on your bike, and then head back home.
It's such a great, it's such a convenience and a nice thing to be able to offer to the community. And I would think, too, an encouragement to many. Maybe you're holding back on going for that walk or going for that ride, or even going to the library because of transportation. And here's something that helps with that. It's a unique and a wonderful thing to be able to offer to the community. Where, just to cover our bases here, because we say a shout out to our friends over in Marshfield that are listening, and where about, what about the Marshfield Community Bike Share? Where's that located?
Right. It's not a trick. It's in Marshfield. But we have four stations over there. So we've got one at the Wildwood Park and Zoo, which is Marshfield's most popular location. Something about parks, I tell you. Yeah. But we also have stations at Marshfield Clinic, Health Systems, YMCA, the Marshfield Public Library, and the Marshfield Fairgrounds.
Great spots, again, for this. And very similar to here in Rapids, you can see the connection points of these and what they could bring out of people and the options people are going to have because of the locations of these. Now, this is a great program, but part of the reason why people are needing these bikes is certainly finances or not having public transportation. So when it comes to how much this costs, that's a key part of the conversation, I imagine.
Yes, a big part of it. And we do want to keep it a very low-cost program so we can reach just about anybody. So it is a dollar an hour, and we've been a dollar an hour since it started about 10 years ago. So, and I hope it doesn't have to change, because it is that accessibility piece. We want to make sure that anybody could use bike share. And there's even an option when you close your ride, if you send a code to a friend and you refer a friend, you can ride your next one for free. So we do try to make it work, and we offer codes throughout the summer and really try to ramp it up just so we can make everyone be able to ride those bikes.
Being blunt, I don't even think you could get at the dollar store something for a dollar anymore.
I don't think you can.
You couldn't find a better price, I think, for something like this. In all reality, this is a great program that we want to keep around. It costs money to keep these programs around, so there has to be some cost involved. But as you touched on and worded so perfectly, none of this matters if it's not accessible. If it's $100 an hour or something like that, you know, nobody's going to be able.
I'm not riding a bike.
So that is such a key factor there, and the fact that it has stayed that price. You know, interestingly, I always love when there's these tie-ins with our interviews. Our friends at Historic Point Boss, we were just talking to, this is a similar thing with them, where their prices have never changed.
Oh, that's awesome.
They're always the same, because it's so important to them to get the community involved in this stuff. This is very similar to that. We want people to use these bikes. The data from this is important. It shows how much they're going to be used, or how much we can look forward to them in the future.
Right.
Maybe we need more bike stations. Maybe we need less. Whatever the information, it leads to a great thing for this program. How do you exactly check out a bike in either River Riders program or the Marshfield program?
Yeah, so I did mention before that it's an app-based program, which means you will have to download an app onto your smartphone. So whether you're an Android or an Apple user, you can go to the app store that fits for you. You'll download the application, open up that app, and you'll create an account. So username, password, just like you would create an account with any other app. But since there is that dollar an hour charge, you will have to add a credit or a debit card into that account, so it can charge your card as you're riding. And then once your account's set up, it's super quick and easy. You are ready to go ride. It's pretty quick. So you can head out to any of our stations. You're going to open up your application. It's going to prompt you to scan a QR code or enter the bike ID number. So both of those are located at the back of the bike, right on top of the back wheel. So you just either enter the ID number, scan the code, click begin, and you're free to ride.
And And to make sure it's clear to people, Hannah is here to represent UW Extension. You're not a part necessarily. You're not a company member of River Riders or anything like that. I say that because I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I am curious if you've heard any rumblings or any thoughts on the idea of this program existing without the app, people who don't have smartphones being able to use it and such. Hoping that maybe that can happen one day.
Yeah, that would be really cool if it could happen one day. And there are some options that we can do, because I know that having a smartphone isn't the thing for everybody. I know that even having a credit or a debit card might not be something that you have access to. And we're constantly trying to think of how can we kind of navigate those paths. And one of them would be working with more community partners. For example, I always use the library as a really good example. We could work with them and see if we could offer maybe like a coupon or something that they could use to check out the bike. It would be a little bit of training and a little bit of work, but that's what makes programs like this so amazing, is when you kind of bring other partners together to work on something like that.
Very well said, and thank you for the answer, Hannah. Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Hannah Wendell Scott, FoodWise nutrition educator with Wood County University of Wisconsin-Madison Division of Extension. When it comes to the River Rider program, how do you end your ride? I just jump off the bike. Yeah. No, I'm joking. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Some people do that, and then I go in, and then I end the ride for them.
Yeah, right on. That's how that ends.
And then that's where you charge $100.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
No, there's a really simple way to end your ride. So once you're done, you just take that bike right back to either the station you took it from, or you can take it to any other station. So it doesn't have to be the same one you pick it up from. You could start at West Grand Avenue Bridge, do whatever you want to do, and head over to the library and end your ride at the library. So once you're back, you open up the Colony app. It'll say end ride. You click on that, and then it'll just kind of prompt you to shut the ride down, and then you kind of close out the lock by kind of whirring it back into place.
It's really nice that you don't necessarily have to bring it back to Wazicha or right. You know, that certainly it's important to bring these back to a location, but it can only extend your ride maybe a little bit more, give you more time on the bike to get to that place. It's kind of a unique way of doing this.
It is. I really like that option.
And I really like the option as well that you brought up earlier. I just want to touch on one more time the idea of being able to refer a friend.
Yes, refer a friend. You can send that code to anybody, and then you'll get a free code back. And I actually didn't even tell you what the app is called. So Colony, and it's with a K, so it's K-O-L-O-N-I. Search for that in your app store, and you'll be able to ride a River Riders or Marshfield bike.
Yeah, that's something that you can do at home and already have downloaded on your phone.
Yep.
You might not want to wait for the Wi-Fi of being out in the world and everything, never knowing how that can go.
No.
What if people have questions or issues starting or ending their ride?
Yes, there's always hiccups with different things, so it's expected, but you can report an issue right there in the Colony app. So if you do have an issue, or like say the bike tire is flat and you just want to let somebody know, you can put that in the application. There's a spot to put questions or issues that you have. Provide as much detail as possible, and then it gets sent back to me and the rest of our bike share team. We have an awesome maintenance technician who checks out all of that. He goes around to all the stations, all the bikes, and fixes them up every other week. So we're always monitoring that. But if there's something like the ride isn't ending, I don't want to get charged all this money, message us on Facebook, River Riders Bike Share on the Facebook page, and you can just send us a direct message. I'll get that right away and we'll take care of it for you. You never have to worry about being overcharged.
Yeah, it's really nice to note, and a really important thing, I think, for listeners out there and for people that want to use these.
Mm-hmm.
Any upcoming events or group rides to look out for?
Yes, we have a kickoff to the summer and Wisconsin Bike Week, and most importantly, a retirement ride for our very dear friend, Grand Rapids Police Chief Mel Peterson, who is retiring soon, actually. I think it's coming up like next week.
Yeah.
And he's been wonderful. He has joined us for so many rides the last couple of years. Sean Becker, Sheriff Becker, comes as well. So we're having a retirement ride for Chief Peterson. It is June 5th, which is a Wednesday, next Wednesday, and it will be at 5:30.
It's going to be fun. And after the ride, you're going to have a post-ride rendezvous.
Yes, post-ride rendezvous. So the ride is going to be out there at White Sands Beach, Lake Wazeecha. So we'll go one loop around starting at 5:30. And then we're going to head over to the White Sands Beach Mini Golf. And they have agreed to collaborate with us and offer 50 cents off any size ice cream.
Nice.
Which is amazing. It is actually, like I said, Wisconsin Bike Week. And the theme this year is biking means business. And as you probably know, but some of us might not realize, when we bike, it does support local businesses, restaurants, coffee shops, communities, everything. And it's really cool to be able to tap into that theme and partner with a local business and offer this.
If there's a sentence that we mantra so much, it's buying local, supporting local.
Yes.
And it's something that we not only are and exist and live every day here at the station, but it's something we believe in. And anytime to support that, anytime to say that, we're going to make sure to do it. This is one of those great, unique, fun ways of doing that. Just being a part of a great event and saying goodbye to wishing a local great retirement while also having a great time and promoting your area, helping support your area.
Right. Yeah. I'm super excited. I hope all of you listening will come.
That's we'll make sure that we have a good crowd for that one, a good turnout for that one. If we can kind of shift gears a little bit here, I see what you did there with that.
Nice, I know. I tried. Done. Sometimes I'm good.
Oh, God. I love it. I love it. I'm a dad. I love pun jokes. I love bad jokes. We're going to talk a little bit about the Wisconsin Rapids Downtown Farmers Market and when the season is starting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm so excited. So the market season opens Thursday, June 13th, so not that far away.
No. So what are the hours and dates, and even where is the location of the market?
Yeah, because it's changed in the past. It's still in the same location that it's been in for a while. So right there along the Wisconsin River on First Avenue South, it's between West Grand Avenue and it goes down to about Goggins Street. So same places last year and the year before. But our market is open every Thursday and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m., which is really good. Come early if you want to get your good stuff. But the season starts on June 13th. And it's open all the way until Saturday, October 12th.
Does the market only accept cash, or are there other types of payments acceptable?
Yeah, so we're actually very fortunate here in Wisconsin Rapids that our market accepts multiple forms of payment. That's a huge deal. It's hard to get to that point. So we should be very proud of our farmers market.
Yeah.
But we accept cash and credit, debit card, EBT food share, your WIC checks, senior farmers market nutrition program checks, and Aspirus fruit and vegetable prescription as well.
It is so unique and so cool. When I was a kid and we were on food share programs or anything, this didn't exist. You couldn't do this. Like, it's such a different world and such a better one when it comes to that. We encourage all families to eat healthier, to buy local, these things, and really backing that with these programs being accessible at this kind of thing. It's so unique and cool. And I'm with you on this. I've been to a lot of farmers markets in my time, and I have not seen this at many, if any other ones.
Yeah,
so
it's rare, but it's coming. We're trying to do a better job at a statewide level, so it's exciting.
And it shows. The work shows. The work shows, and it's appreciated. It really is. How do you use your credit or debit or card or an EBT food share card at these?
Yeah, because that's a barrier, too, if you don't know and you don't want to mess with it and you might be a little nervous. So it's super easy. If you want to use your credit or debit or the food share Quest card, you can come to the Orange Market Manager tent. We're kind of right there in the middle of the farmer's market. Let a market manager know that you want to get some tokens. So if you're going to use your credit or debit card, for example, and you want $10 worth of tokens, you're going to let the manager know. And they're going to say, all right, we've got a $1 service fee, and that's only for the credit or debit. So you're going to have $1 charge, and then they're going to hand you 10 individual tokens that are just like cash. And you can use them on anything for the credit or debit tokens.
Very cool. And pretty simple process.
Super simple. And the same thing goes for the food share, your Quest card. So if you want to use your food share card, you're going to come to the same place, market manager, let them know you want to use $10 of food share cards. There will not be a $1 service fee for that one. So they're just going to swipe your card for $10, give you the 10 tokens, and you can use those on your food share eligible items.
And, well, I certainly wanted to focus a bit on the people using these and the people that need this and that are going to be out there accessing this stuff. Let's not forget what we were talking about just before either, This is a perfect way of buying local and supporting local. These vendors are from our ag industry oftentimes, or for our local farms, or we're not talking big business here. We're talking locals. We're talking neighbors and people that you're helping support while also getting great items.
Yes, yes. I know. I love our farmers market. We have absolutely wonderful vendors, farmers. We have amazing volunteers. And then having the community member come in there too, it's just, it's so much fun. You can find so much stuff at our market. We've got all the fresh fruits, veggies, herbs. There's tons of canned goods. So things like salsas, your pickled items, jams, jellies. We have maple syrup and honey and popcorn and lemonade. Oh my gosh, we could just go on forever. We've got crafts too. So we can't forget about that. Cutting boards, jewelry, other beautiful pieces. It's really great. You can get just about anything on your shopping list when you come.
Hannah, you know how much I respect you and appreciate the time and conversation with you. I heard nothing after maple syrup. I'm so sorry. I didn't hear anything else. I'm a sucker for maple syrup. A real sucker for it.
Honestly, same.
And you guys offer a variety of family-friendly entertainment as well.
Yeah, we do. We try to make the market not just a place that you're going to run in quick, shop like you do the grocery store, right? You want to get in and out. Yeah. I don't want that to be how it is for the farmers market. So we try to offer things like balloon twisting, face painting, live music, local organizations that offer games, activities. We really try to ramp up that part of the market too. So you can shop, get all the things you need, but you're going to stay a while. And you want to bring your kids and expose them to all the things that a farmers market can offer you and get them involved in the process too.
The whole reason I like going to the farmers market and I love supporting it, know all these things, everything you've heard me ramble, it's stuff my mother has said to me since I was a child, back in Chicago, going to the farmers markets over there and everything, and understanding that it wasn't just that we were getting a good produce or something like that. Right. We were also supporting local people. We were supporting the Illinois ag industry in this and stuff that was really brought to me. Yes. So when we tell you to encourage to bring kids and bring the whole family, it's a fun time. It's a great experience. It's something to do in the summer, get out of the house. But let's not forget either that these kids are paying attention to what we're doing and they're learning from it. Yes. And they grow up and want to go to farmers markets and bring their kids to them and everything. Mm-hmm. It's a learning experience as much as it is fun and a real good way to support local.
Yes, I love that.
Hannah, if people want to find out more about the bike share program or some of the other things that we've talked about today, how can they do that?
Yep, you can give me a call. My office number is 715-421-8530. I would love to chat and answer any questions you might have.
I want to encourage everybody as well to go onto their Facebook pages and like the Facebook pages for not only the River Riders program, but for the Wisconsin Rapids Downtown Farmers Market as well.
Yes, we post so much on our Wisconsin Rapids Downtown Farmers Market page. That is where we will update who's going to be at the market. We're going to do vendor spotlights this year too.
Cool.
So we're going to try to highlight everybody at the farmers market. It'll be super great. So please like us.
Yeah. Like the page, support local everybody. And it's also a great way, as Hannah told us earlier, if you have any questions, you can reach out to them through there.
Yes. Yes.
Always good talking with you, Hannah. We got to figure out a way to bring you in more than once a year.
I agree. I don't know why we're doing this. Yes, we got to come in more.
We'll see you soon, then. We'll see you soon. Thank you for the time. We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here at WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
The Todd Alba Show.
Luke, General Kelly is someone who lost a son in battle. And at the grave of his son, the then sitting president of the United States, Donald Trump, said, "I just don't get it. What was in it for them?"
To him, it's always been, how can I get my name out there? He's never going to be fulfilled. He's never served something larger than himself. And I think on days like Memorial Day, it's extremely telling.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we learn about Riverside Rhythms coming to downtown Waukesha in hour number 2. A new GOP coloring book should be fascinating conversation. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Todd Alba Show.
Managing Editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI Overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Jurors have been dismissed following a first full day of deliberations in Donald Trump's criminal trial, but they left after making a second request. CBS's Errol Barnett reports they asked to hear jury instructions again, in addition to requests for transcripts of testimony by two key witnesses.
One of the four is Michael Cohen's testimony regarding that Trump Tower meeting, also David Pecker's testimony regarding that meeting, and then two other questions as it relates to Pecker's testimony.
Both were reportedly part of a meeting at Trump Tower where this hush money scheme was orchestrated ahead of the 2016 election. Trump has denied any involvement, but deliberations have been going on for hours today. Legal analyst Jessica Levinson.
The question, of course, also is where are they? Meaning, are they just in the beginning or are they close to a verdict? And who is this good or bad for?
Deliberations continue tomorrow. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Watch out! They got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
In the pretend universe, kids play with pretend guns. In the real world, it's up to us to make sure they don't get their hands on a real gun. If you have a gun in the house, keep it locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by nFamily Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.